So I'd like to say good afternoon and to thank the organisers of the Ginning Conference for the opportunity to speak to you today. My role at CSIRO is as a project leader in a sort of post-harvest area when we look at things from fibre quality and re-engineering largely American ginning designs to try and accommodate Australian cotton. And today I'd like to report or introduce to you a device that we've been working on that measures the moisture content of cotton lint in seed cotton or seed cotton as it passes through gin ducting. The Australian cotton industry is very keen to reduce the amount of damage to fibre through ginning, and the moisture monitoring device that we present here is represents one of our objectives in having closer control over cotton moisture in order to protect the fibre during the ginning process. So today I'll cover these points largely. We did some studies to show that moisture helps ameliorate fibre damage, and that's not a new thing, but we've got just a little snapshot there to show you. I want to cover the current techniques that are currently used to measure moisture in line in the gin currently. And present some of the flaws that we see in these to give you a reason for our development here. And finally, I'll describe to you some of our trial results where we've put the device into a commercial gin. We've had it there for the last couple of seasons and the results from that. So Most gins in Australia don't humidify their seed cotton during the ginning process. So we certainly add water at the very end to sort of help for bale compression and bale weights. But in this trial, what we've done is we've sort of jerry-rigged a sort of Samuel Jackson conditioning hopper, if you like, using the humid air that's already delivering humidified air to the battery condenser at the gin. And then we've just varied the amount of humidified air into that hopper just below the conveyor just by opening or closing the valve between the humid air and the ducting to that hopper. So the graph below just shows you the moisture content or the regain of the fibre as we've taken it out post-gin and post-lint cleaner. So we've got one gin stand, and then this gin stand adjacent to it is not treated. I'd just like to point out to you that our base moisture in cotton when we gin in Australia is about 5.5% during the winter. We have sort of cool but dry winters up there. Our sort of relative humidity in the gin ducting really doesn't get higher than 40 or 50% in the mornings, and it certainly gets down to in the 20s and 30% in the afternoons. And the 20 and 30% in the afternoons gives us gives us this regain of about 5.5% on, you know, as a general. I mean, some ginners in Australia will point out that we've had some very wet seasons, wet ginning seasons, and these numbers are not applicable to those seasons, but I just make the observation that these have been the numbers for about the last 5 years, really. So what happens when we add moisture to seed cotton and then and how much of that moisture remains in the lint as it travels through the lint cleaner? This graph shows you. This is reasonably standard Australian cotton. I will say it's a little bit unlike the cotton from the south here. It's a little bit cleaner. It's a little drier, of course. And so we're in I mean, we see Australian cotton as being in a sort of the medium high quality export game. All our cotton is exported, and so our customers tell us the cotton has to be long, it has to have a low short fibre content, it has to have low NEPs, and this is just one of our attempts to try and improve those values. The cotton here is a 21-31 with a three leaf. It has one lint cleaner. So what we note is that when we add maybe up to 2% moisture. We're not really advocating that you add up to 2% moisture, but in this experiment, when we add up to 2%, then we get more than the 32nd, which is certainly a price point, or it's a premium of some sort. It's not as big as the discounts if you're a 32nd under. So moisture can help marginal cotton in that regard, and that's also part of our cause. And then again, uniformity also improves, of course. I won't sort of try and explain any interactions here, but just to note that length, uniformity, strength all improve. I do note, because the cotton was very clean, that the trash levels did not change, but we would expect with heavier leaf cotton that we might have to reduce the moisture content. This graph here shows a survey that we've done of all the gins in Australia. And it shows how the ginners manage or monitor their moisture throughout the season. So there's a lot of emphasis on looking at module moisture, and a lot of emphasis on looking at bale moisture to ensure that ensure compression, good compression, and bale weights. We note in the middle there, though, that we use inline resistance meters, so there's something the conveyor just something meter located just above the conveyor in one of the pre-cleaning areas. That's used, but it's not used. It's something that we, as researchers, don't get a good feeling about the numbers that those instruments give us. And then we also note that there's a lot of handheld testing done, and that's again done with a resistance meter. So the issues with resistance measurement is a lack of a moisture standard, really. I mean, we can use a oven gravimetric test, but and you have to go back to that, but that's not used practically or routinely in the gin. And the thing about inline resistance sensors is that, and I've got a slide just following this, but there are some inherent inaccuracies with the way the sample's presented on those sensors and with the actual electronics associated with those sensors. And I've just said all that there. The upshot is that what we'd really like is a device that allows us to meter moisture when it's required, so as to achieve a cotton moisture between 6.5% and 7% for ginning, and also for lint cleaning. When the fibre is clean, there's no reason that resilience that you give to the fibre when it's moist can't be added even prior to the lint cleaner. Now, that might seem a little absurd for a ginning culture here, but we'd like to think that if the material that's been transported via the condenser to the lint cleaner can also be conditioned in some way, whether you don't move it by air anymore or whether you move it by mechanical means, then what we note is that the higher the moisture content through that fixed bath system, the better your results are in terms of fibre quality. Just a little bit of information about resistance with moisture and cotton. This is a graph out of from John Hurl's paper in 1953. It's an oldie but a goodie. It just shows you how the specific resistance of cotton varies with the moisture, and it's a logarithmic. You can see both axes are logarithmic because there's a large difference at very dry levels as opposed to moderately wet levels. So we're talking about at a log of one, we're talking about a moisture content of 10% there. So those log values have been transposed as from percentage values. So the point about this graph is that the resistance sensors that we use in the ginning need to be specially designed to manage actually the wide range of currents that are produced between the test electrodes. And we also note that if the sample's not presented well to that resistance sensor, then the value's also not valid. So what we've got here is this is our concept. This is what we've been testing. It's a It's a moisture device that uses large capacitor plates. So that's a gin duct that can be, that's 2.5 metres wide. Inside, as well as the capacitor plates, we have light sensors, and we also have some temperature and RH sensors in there just to sort of accommodate the structural changes or the expansion changes that might occur in the duct during ginning. We did a test. We test our stuff before we put it into industry, and these graphs just show you very quickly our test rig, and that we note that when you vary the cotton mass, so the graph on your right is cotton mass in those capacitor plates, and we note that it's a linear response with the capacitance. And then also, so that mass is there is conditioned, and it's just incrementally, so it has a constant rate of moisture in there. Then when we add moisture to it, you also get a linear response. And really, the capacitors really do respond to that water dielectric. Because we're measuring mass and moisture with these capacitors, we need to normalise out the mass measurement, and we use the lighting system to do that. Run from the concept, we have run it in the commercial gin, and this is a fairly productive commercial gin. It's located in Narrabri in New South Wales. We popped it up on one of their stands. This is a big four-stand gin, a continental four-stand gin. The thing about the sensor is that it requires a lot of mechanical bracing, because any warping or shifting in the, or expansion in the metallic duct requires will change the capacitance or the result that the capacitor records, and so that we've gone to a lot of trouble in making sure that it's well insulated, well shielded, and well braced from the movement in the duct anyway. We have to calibrate the dam system, and it's easier said than done. So we understand that we can do it statically, but to do it an inline calibration is tricky. But these are our results from that inline calibration, if you like. What we've done is we've drawn samples from the ducting. We've spent a couple of weeks up there. In 1 week, we've been there every day, and for 12 hours. And every hour we draw 4 or 5 samples, and we. And you can see the here on the left-hand side is that's a cotton piece moving through the 2.5 metre device and moving at 20 metres a second as it does. There's about 900 grams there per second through the duct. The duct reports averages on a minute basis, although it does measure them every second. So, but we just take the average from that minute. We check those samples using another Vomax instrument, which is a laboratory-based microwave meter, and that allows us to quickly get an idea of the moisture value of that cotton that we've just withdrawn from the sample, from the duct. So this is the sensor device responses. We've got the light sensor here and a capacitor sensor, and I've shown this graph here because. It shows here a move from a reasonably wet module just around to a dry series of modules, and you can see that there's whilst that the concentration of light stays the same, that's the black lines, the capacitive response actually changes, and so that for us that was a good illustration of its efficacy and its potential accuracy. When we pair the device results with the Vomax results, so the distributions fit quite well, as you can see, but individual pairs might not fit so well, and you can see that from that graph there. It's highly significant, but you'll note the very narrow range. This is the range of moistures that we measure in a typical week in winter in Australia, between 5% and 6%, and that's across all hours of the day. So that's from a wet time to a dry time. We'll obviously spend this next year doing more tests and hopefully looking for a wider range of moisture values in the gin ducting. But we're actually quite heartened by that even by the spread of that data there, because it's largely associated with experimental error, we feel, rather than the actual accuracy of the system itself. That's an oxymoron, I know. But here's those. So what we've done, the graph here on the right really does show you how well the system, how well the system and the VOMAX results did match, and they're both independent systems, and you expect some outliers, and you can see those there. Those outliers are actually taken away from that regression there under, you know, a standard statistical process, you know, where we say standard residuals more than greater than 2 are removed because of some errant factor. But we've included them all there in that trace there. And what we do notice is actually a very good synchronisation, if you like, of the values, which we're very happy about. So just to conclude, it's a new moisture device that measures all the cotton and all the mass of the cotton running through the duct. And the sensor itself is not compromised by wet cotton particularly, because it measures all material travelling through the duct at that high speed. The device currently has a sort of an error, experimental error, of about plus or minus 0.5% around the estimated value. And we largely attribute that to the experimental in the calibration. The capacitor device itself actually has a very sensitive accuracy, down to 1 femtofarads. It's sort of measuring in the range of picofarads, its sensitivity is quite good. Trials in 2010 obviously focus on connection to moisture management systems, and to that end we will. Within this gin there is a moisture mirror system, so we'll put it into that. An improvement in the device's accuracy, or published accuracy, I'll call it. And on that, I'd like to finish up, but some acknowledgements to my colleague, Andrew Kresge, who's really responsible for all the electronics in the system, and to our sponsors, the Cotton Community Catchment, CRC, the Cotton R&D Corporation in Australia, CSIRO, our employers, Oscott Limited in Narrabri, they're a large ginning grower company in Australia, and Samuel Jackson for their encouragement. So with that, I'd like to thank you for your attention.